happy to be joined now by the voice of the Raptors, Matt Devlin, on the line. Hey, Matt.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Matt. Are you feeling it already? I mean, this city is so starved for playoff success and playoff games for the basketball team. This is the first you've seen in your time covering the team. Are you starting to feel the energy build around that building?
Well, no doubt. In fact, I was here in 2008 working for Turner TNT doing playoffs in that Orlando Toronto series, and you know, the building was electric then. It was something that actually the producer Mike Burks and director Rich Russo and I talked about. Mike Dunleavy was my analyst, and you know, we talked about it, in fact, after the game as we were all headed to Philadelphia for the next game that we were going to do, just how electric the building was. And we certainly expect it to be, you know, that way today. I think it's going to be, you know, just a fantastic scene, and what a beautiful day. And you have the Maple Leaf Square as well that's going to be rocking and rolling. So it's certainly been a phenomenal buildup, and I think it's, you know, something that's great for this city and certainly something that's great for the passionate fan base.
Yeah, that's an interesting part of this whole thing as well, Matt. I think that that Maple Leaf Square situation, I don't think there's many, if any, teams in the NBA that do that sort of thing. And I'm interested to see what kind of a turnout they get down there. We saw the crowds for the Leafs last year in that playoff series against the Boston Bruins, but that's the Leafs. I wonder, do you think it's going to be that same type of atmosphere and that same level of support for this team, not just in the building, but outside?
I do. I think that you're going to see not only inside the building, but also outside the building. And, you know, I always, you know, when you talk about, you know, the Maple Leafs and you talk about the Toronto Raptors, you know, there's, you know, such great, you know, history with the Toronto Maple Leafs and, you know, a passionate fan base. Certainly there's no question about that. But there's also one as well for the Toronto Raptors. And if you think about, you know, where this, you know, team has been, it's only been in existence for 19 years. It takes a generation. And I tell people all the time that I know that there's a buzz, you know, about the Raptors when I'm at my son's minor hockey games. And, you know, people are talking about the Raptors because so many of the guys that I talked to, they didn't grow up with basketball. You know, you talk to a Leo Rounds, he said, I was looking to Buffalo with the Buffalo Braves and, you know, hoping to catch a game on tape delay. But now, you know, you're starting to see, you know, how basketball has grown in not only this city, but this country, and certainly evident by, you know, Tristan Thompson and Corey Joseph, and right now Tyler Ennis and Anthony Bennett and Andrew Wiggins and Nick Stauskas. It's just going to continue to grow and grow and grow, and I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, and days like today only going to just continue the point, I think, Matt. Talking to Matt Devlin, voice of the Raptors here, Sportsnet Today, Sportsnet Radio Network. Matt, I loved hearing from Masai Ujiri last week and how fired up he was, and we'll talk about maybe some disrespect being shown by the Nets, although I tend to understand their point as well. But I want to talk about one thing he did mention, and that is turning the ACC into a living hell for the opponents. And in talking about fan reaction to this team, we talked about Maple Leaf Square, but inside the building, I tend to think Raptor fans were a lot different than Leaf fans, a lot different than Blue Jays fans. Maybe they're more along the lines of Toronto FC fans, whereas they are more proactive than reactive. That's kind of, and I feel like basketball is one of the few sports where, I mean, the atmosphere in the building, I think, can have a definite effect on the game. Matt, where do you come down on that?
Well, I would agree that I think that fans certainly can create a very difficult environment. You talk to players and they will acknowledge that. Sometimes publicly, a lot of times they acknowledge it privately, just to say that place is a tough place to play because the fans are right up on top of you. And I would say the reason for that is that basketball, when you look at the four major sports, it's the most intimate setting in that there's no glass or boards that are separating you from, you know, the ice or the playing field or the basketball court, right? You're right up on top of it. You can actually have your feet on the basketball court. The setting is certainly more intimate because of the fact that, you know, like in a football stadium, you might be far away from the action, and then you have the sideline, and then you have the field of play, where in basketball, that isn't the case. You can literally reach out and touch those guys because, you know, they're right there on a basketball court that's in front of you. And so because of that, I do believe that the crowd certainly can be a major factor. And any time that when a crowd is a major factor, it can rattle, no question about it, an opposing team. And whether we're in Toronto or whether we're in Miami or whether we're in L.A., Minnesota, Chicago, whatever city we go to, we always see Raptor fans. And I think that speaks a lot to, you know, the passion that they have for this team.
Talking Matt Devlin, voice of the Raptors here, Sportsnet today on the Sportsnet radio network. Raptors and Nets getting set in just about 2.5 hours' time to tip off for game one of the series. And Matt, yeah, the storyline going into this series is how the Nets, I mean, it was overt tanking, if not in the last week, at least in the final game of the regular season, only dressing seven guys and resting all of their regular starters to lose by about 30 points in Cleveland so that they would avoid the Chicago Bulls, which, I mean, if I'm in their shoes, I probably want to do as well. Although they haven't had extreme success against the Raptors, they split the season series right down the middle at two games apiece, and every game seemed like was very tight and great finish, the Pat game in Brooklyn. But are the Raptors really looking at that and using it as bulletin board material headed into this series?
You know, DeMar DeRozan yesterday said that's on them. And whoever you meet up with in the postseason, they're good teams. And so if they have that mentality, you know, I'm sure within the locker room, you know, the Raptors are acknowledging that to each other. Are they going to acknowledge it publicly? You know, we'll wait and see. They haven't really up to this point. But I would say this, that, you know, the Nets certainly were resting players, and I think it's actually bigger than even the Raptors and saying that you want to face the Raptors. You know, this is a Nets team that's 0-4 against Indiana. They're 4-0 against Miami.
Yeah.
And it's a dangerous, dangerous game to play if this ultimately was their idea that they wanted to get on this side of the bracket. Because sometimes the basketball gods, as Dwayne Casey says, they'll come out and get you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think for them, I think they were looking at a bigger picture. And I'm not saying it's right because I do think that there's a level of respect for the game. But this is a team, a Nets team, and I'm certainly going to make the point of this, you know, today. Their season is going to be based upon what they do in the playoffs, period. They have the highest payroll in the NBA at nearly $103 million. That does not include all the tax that they will have to pay on that. And so their success has nothing to do with finishing sixth, fifth, fourth, third, or second,
yeah. Yep.
Or first. They have to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and then move into the NBA Finals.
Matt, let me float this idea at you and get your opinion on it. I tend to think that facing the Nets in the first round is a better scenario for the Raptors. For this reason, if you get the Wizards in the first round, you're expected to win that series. This is a Raptors team that's getting its first taste of the playoffs, and the pressure would be squarely on them. And I know at a certain point it is all gravy after what we expected this season. But you get the Nets, now you're the underdogs in this first round series. Nobody expects you to beat them, especially south of the border. So for a team making its first playoff run, maybe that's the exact scenario you'd like to be in.
Well, I think that, you know, for them, you know, there's always conversation, you know, about, well, we're here in Toronto. We're the one team that's out of the United States. The spotlight's going to be on them, certainly. And that's based upon the fact that you now are taking on a team in the number one market in the United States, in Brooklyn. And because of the expectations of Brooklyn, you're certainly going to be able to, you know, and put on Brooklyn, you're certainly going to be able to, you know, to go up against a battle-tested team. And while, you know, they're in their first year together, Paul Pierce, KG on the Nets, along with, you know, Andre Blatch and Darren Williams and Sean Livingston and Mason Plumlee, you know, you're going to have that opportunity against a team that, you know, when you look at the amount of playoff minutes combined for the entire Raptors team, it's less than half of just Kevin Garnett by himself.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a great test.
Yep.
And, you know, who doesn't want to go up against, you know, a team like the Nets? And I would agree with you that I think a lot of people would look at this and say, well, geez, you know, it's the Nets. But then, interestingly enough, you know, I looked at a lot of the pundits in the U.S., and there was almost a split between the Raptors
really?
and the Nets. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, and
I mean, you know, Barkley keeps saying that, you know, the Raptors are the sleeper team.
Yeah, and I mean, it's hard to argue with them the way they've played, but the Nets have been one of the strongest teams since the flip of the calendar here to 2014 in all of the NBA. Let's break down some of the actual action that's going to happen on the court here today, Matt, because I look at, yeah, I mean, you talk about all the playoff experience you want, but and I think the Toronto Sun did a pretty good job of illustrating the point that, yes, the Brooklyn Nets are an older team, and the Raptors are going to have to use their speed, use their youth, and I think that is specifically true when it comes to Kyle Lowry. How much are the Raptors going to look for Kyle Lowry to look for his own offense here in this series?
Well, I would just say this, that when you look at Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, they're the second highest scoring starting backcourt in the NBA. And specifically Kyle Lowry, the three has been so key to his success this year. He made a franchise record in threes this year. The combination, remember DeMar missed one game against the Nets, a combination of DeMar, Terrence Ross, because Terrence Ross got one start for Kyle, and then Kyle Lowry averaged over 42 points against the Nets. The Nets starting backcourt, which consisted at times, remember, they only had one game where this starting unit of Deron Williams and Sean Livingston played, okay? But they also had Joe Johnson starting one game in the backcourt. They also had Allen Anderson. That combination averaged 23 points. Now, the caveat is that D. Will and Sean Livingston, the one game that they did play together, they combined for 36. But the point of that is that this is a guard-driven team, the Toronto Raptors.
Yep.
They are, you know, they are where they are right now based upon their two guards and their third guard off of the bench in Gravis Vasquez. And so to me, that's pivotal. They have relied on that three, which is fine. They have had a franchise record in threes made. They've done exceptionally well with the three ball. That's going to have to continue against this team.
Well, all that being said, Matt, and we'll let you go after this. I mean, are the Raptors going to have to find a way then to get the ball down low and work it to Amir and Jonas Valanciunas? Or are they going to continue being that guard-driven team?
Well, I think that you're going to see that because we have seen this now down the stretch, where they will open up looking on the inside, because you have to have that to alleviate and eliminate the pressure on the perimeter. And so we have seen them go on the inside. Jonas Valanciunas has scored 20 or more points this year five times, and the Raptors are 5-0 in those games.
Yep.
So when he is up against KG, his numbers are great. But they have a combination of Mason Plumlee and Andre Blatch coming off of the bench, and that is a difficult task for the Raptors inside guys of Amir Johnson and also Jonas. So that inside game is going to be equally important. It is the playoffs,
yep.
And so you can never say, hey, this or that. It's got to be both for the Toronto Raptors.